Good Wednesday evening. Good to see you all here and glad to be back in fellowship with you and resuming our midweek church service time and getting back into the fellowship that we've missed for the past 3 weeks or so. So glad to have you all with us, and we're still waiting for Brother James to arrive, but until he does, why don't we go ahead and sing a song? All hail the power of Jesus' name. Those who know this wonderful hymn and would like to use their mic to sing along, please feel free. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all.
Chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the foe. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all.
Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
If yonder angel throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Amen.
Amen indeed. Welcome, dear brother. We can hear you and we can see you. I'm glad whatever the problem was has been worked out, so we'll go ahead and turn the meeting over to you. And go right ahead, dear brother.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming to the rescue. Just a few technical issues. We're in a new place today. It's Sister Faye's house. And Sister Faye, if you'd like to wave to everyone. And yes. Sister Lucy, thank you again. And maybe we'll have opening prayer first before I attend to sharing screen. Shall we pray? Loving Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of a whole new day that's before us, those of us that are in the light days, light hours of the day, and thank you for the night time as well, for precious rest and sleep. We need both. And we thank you for giving us particular blessings where we need them. God, we thank you for the opportunity to meet, not just online and not just in a room, but in the name of Jesus, with the precious grace of Jesus, which we invite into our hearts and minds as we open the word so we can understand it. Holy Spirit, that you could send home to us what we all need to specifically be told. Help us hear what the message is in the book of Acts as we continue this journey of which what they were seeking to accomplish and did in their generation, it is no less the same today, perhaps more so than ever before, because Christ can actually come back in our day, in our generation. Thank you for the prophetic outline of where your church is in ancient, past, and recent history, and that you are calling all today to serve you in spirit and truth and to understand the last message of mercy, because it really does give us a real blueprint how we're going to conduct our lives and what fashion we're going to run them and how we're going to know what you would have us do. And thank you for giving the still small voice, Holy Spirit. We uphold at this time Brother Sean, who is not well. I can't remember if he had an accident or he is sick for some reason, but nevertheless, we uphold him that you would take care of his ailment or whatever the circumstances for him that's taken place just recently, and that he will have a full recovery and be back on his feet like you've done for us in the past, like you've personally helped us get back on our feet. And not only that, but thrill us with a hope that cannot be dampened, even though the heavens fall. Father, I pray we would have a faith that would be zealous and earnest and would be able to have that such a faith, like the martyrs, where nothing is too dear to give up when we know full well that God's glory would be advanced by giving it up. And thank you for doing this. Please help us use the technology now in the chat room. Thank you so much for blessing us with such a chat room. Help us get used to it. And thank you for the privileges that it affords. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so thank you, brothers and sisters. So we haven't been meeting for about a month now. So I'll just recap on what we covered in Acts chapter 19. There was no small stir about the way, which was recorded in chapter 19, verse 23. And with an almost naive simplicity, the words of Demetrius, who was a idol maker, reveal the fact that religion often threatens vested economic interests and that persecutions may result. And this situation greatly increased the difficulties in which the Christians, evangelists, had to labor. And every city had its temples and priests, its oracles and sanctuaries. Sacrifice and feasts created a market for industry that would otherwise have been lacking. And in early Christian times, when the gospel was placed in conflict with paganism, the economic interference it presented not infrequently aroused the wrath of those whose incomes were affected. And that was the general or main reason, at least in the book in chapter 19. And we covered the fact that they wanted to bring Paul into the theatre to eventually have him regarded as guilty of disrupting the peace of Ephesus. And you remember the theatre could hold 24,500 people. And Paul was going to enter because he didn't, being the leader that he was, his heart was with the cause and he didn't want others to suffer needlessly. Although, and they were being dragged in, a couple were brought in, and certainly the chief of Asia, which were his friends, you recall, desired him that he wouldn't adventure himself, and he didn't. He followed their advice who happened to be people he'd made friends with. The assembly was confused, and then the town clerk appeases the people. So that brings us, they were dispersed, as verse 41 suggests. So starting with verse 41, let's continue. And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. I love how Paul's tender care. We're not told Paul's a father, literal father, and yet we see him having solicitous care for his flock that he's about to leave. And he makes sure that they're okay. They know he's okay. They know what's occurred and what he's going to do to continue the work. And then he leaves them. This is it's a lovely outline and speaks eloquently of Jesus working in him, telling us about his care for the flock. We're also told by Jesus himself that the shepherd knows his sheep and he's known of his. And being an under-shepherd that Paul was, he wasn't what's the term that's used in the Bible? He wasn't someone hired. He wasn't a hired one. So he wasn't going to run when the heated persecution started or continued. Does anyone have any thoughts before we go on to verses 2 onwards? I've got to get used to this.
Yeah, I know, brother. It's a learning experience. But again, those that are here in the room, if you're on a laptop or a desktop computer, just hold down your space bar and you'll be able to talk. Those that are on the phone, hit *9, and that will alert us to release your mic so that you'll be able to speak in the room to us.
I was just going to say, I like the fact that he was embracing them, or he was hugging them, the personal contact with them, because that's more than just saying, I love you guys. It's really showing it. I like that part.
Amen, sis. It gives a sense that Paul is a sociable man. He's one who goes beyond externals. His heart's in the work. Would someone like to read from verses 2 to? Verses 2 to 6.
And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews lay wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and that of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. And when we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days.
Thank you, sis. And I love the detail Luke gives here in the third person. And look at the dangers that they faced in regards to the Jews laying wait. I mean, the Jews were very serious about taking someone's life, just as I think more serious than wanting to keep the law of God, because in their eyes, they were doing the law of God by killing a heretic. That's what jumps out at me in verse 3. They're ready to lay in wait, like they tried to entangle him with Gallio in his last visit to Corinth. The intention was to kill him. And Paul hears of the plot, changes his plans. And it's just part of his life. He's getting, I imagine he's probably used to it, but that's not where his strength lies. But he's looking up because the cause is to advance into new fields, and the effects that his ministry's had in the previous fields is to continue, is to be maintained, is to continue to be a light to the world, and not just to, wait until Paul comes back before they can grow again in grace, because it's not Paul, but it's God that gives the increase in our individual experience and church growth at large. Does anyone have anything to add or share?
I like the fact that the occurrences of what were taking place is actually listed in the scriptures. So it's not like they just come and tell you what Paul did, but they actually give more background on his travels, who traveled with him, where they went, and, you know, highlighting the dangers that they went through. So it brings the whole picture to life, and you can see that it's not whitewashed over. Everything is presented as it took place and as it occurred. We're not just getting the embellished versions, if you will, and all the negative things sort of cut out of the picture. And that makes it come alive to me.
Hey, man, bro, it makes it realistic. It makes it a lot, I guess, a lot like now. We can see one another. It makes it, it's real places that history has verified today over almost 2,000 years. So we can verify whether, you know, Luke was just making it up as he was going along. he was a poor historian, or whether he was a great one. And the things that I found regarding Luke, I've only ever heard of it being positive, which tells me, you know, is it Luke chapter 3 and also Acts chapter 1, his historical prologue, why he's setting out to do things, and he explains who was ruling at the time, who was there when Christ was born, and when John the Baptist was preaching. All these things, they mean something, especially to the historian, but for us, it more validates that what we're reading is real, is factual. It's not put there just to fill in a couple of the end part of the papyrus page, because you're getting to the end of it.
Amen. Amen. And a brother, I'm not going to be able to be your third arm in putting the little check marks by the verses. So you'll have to hit the annotation part on your toolbar. It may be in the more section. Maybe your computer doesn't have the annotation part of it.
Last time I was on, I was obviously on my computer, but we're using SisterFace because to try it out today, and it's doing something much different. It's when I press more, it just says disable video receiving, and there's really nothing up top. You're sharing the screen, but it doesn't give me those instructions you just shared that it used to. So there's good news, but bad news if Faye's doing it next time. Sister Faye, but maybe we can work out. I'm not sure. I don't know what's caused this. I'm sorry that I can't really darken where we're up to. Oh, you can see that, can't you? Can you all see that, what I've just darkened?
Yeah, we can see that okay.
Okay, maybe I can just do that.
It's harder to read.
Oh, you think it's harder to read? Well, I guess maybe for a start, I could do that. So perhaps we could read verses 7 to, we'll go to verse 10. Would anyone like to read verses 7 to 10? Please do so.
And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper room where they were gathered together, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and, embracing him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." And what a mighty miracle that was.
Amen. What a miracle. Well, and what hope that Paul, he just goes about it in such a simple way, nothing doubting. He doesn't claim he knows he's going to be healed, but he exercises faith that he might be healed. And of course, we know where this ends up, but you know, starting off with verse 7, it's interesting. It's the same expression in Greek as is used in Matthew 28:1. And, It's interesting how many people there appears to be more commentators than not that actually would agree that it's the day following Sabbath, or the Sabbath lighthouse, which would be what we call Saturday night today. But it could be that. It's interesting, Sister White shares in Acts of the Apostles, page 390, upon the last evening of his stay, the brethren came together to break bread. So we know it's definitely in the evening. But, you know, there are many people that read into this that perhaps this is all about the Christian Sunday observance, and that this is a fantastic indication that we are to keep the first day of the week that is written here. But the significant factor here as regarding the early Christian Sunday keeping is whether the first day meeting represents regular Christian practice, or whether it happened to fall on the first day only because of Paul's visit. In other words, it wasn't planned that way. It just happened that's the day it fell. Of course, you know, the Sabbath we can't change. It's always the seventh day. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or preparation day, and then Sabbath. So, but a consideration of the whole narrative. When we read chapter 20 and it's in its context, doesn't provide support for the youth. At least I can't say, and perhaps you feel the same, that they're specifically meeting because it was the first day of the week. Luke remarks on that it's the first day of the week, and he's quite in harmony with his chronological notes, which he fills in the rest of this chapter and chapter 21. He just states it how it is, what day and how many days. And perhaps Luke was simply saying it because the passage was explains when the meeting was held, not because it was Sunday, but because Paul was ready to depart. Verse 7, as he explained that in the same verse, as the first day account is mentioned, because there are many first day keepers or Sunday observers that look at every first day quotation. I think there is 8 out of the whole New Testament, and most of them are in the Gospels. And this is one of them that's outside in the book of Acts. there's an interesting note. Luke included an account account of the meeting, because the experience of Eutychus, and his note that was the first day of the week, is merely a part of his continual chronological record of Paul's journey. Augustus Neander, the great Christian historian, he said this in the History of the Christian Religion and Church. The passage is not entirely convincing because the impending departure of the apostle may have united the little church in a brotherly parting meal, on occasion of which the apostle delivered his last address, although there was no particular celebration of a Sunday in the case. And, of course, Paul went until midnight, and probably one of the reasons he did that was he's not going to see them for some time. Probably one of the reasons beyond the usual limits. It's not every day, every night he would do this. Certainly wouldn't be the most helpful, temperately speaking. And it's interesting in verse 8, many lights is mentioned. And one of the reasons that could be quoted is from an historian, early historian Tertullian. He provided this very verse as a reason why the night meetings of the Christians were not practiced with shameless license. In other words, there were that many lights for everyone to see what they were doing. They had nothing to hide, and all was welcome. And that's how all of us should be. We're open to the world, no matter who it is, even our enemies. And, that really thrills my heart when I think, maybe you've had the same experiences when you can love your, you can look forward to inviting enemies to hear the truth or share the truth with them, but sharing it because you know that Christ loves them and he loved me, and I used to be an enemy of Christ, and I know he must be just as precious as I am, so I ought to love my brother, or I ought to love the others, that whether they're aware of it or not, Christ has died for.
Amen. And I think it's interesting that the individuals there, the church members and others that were interested, were willing to stay and listen to everything that Paul wanted to share, even though it went to midnight. And, as we continue, it actually, he continues talking past midnight all the way until sunrise. But the people there wanted to hear what he had to say. They didn't want to miss a word.
Good evening and good morning, everybody. I see some interesting thing here. That sometimes when you are preaching, there are many concerns that may take you unaware to longer hours, maybe up to midnight. Usually, in our sessions, we always have question and answer after messages. Then there are many arising issues. Probably I saw two things here, that there may have been many arising issues that needed their attention to be answered by Paul. And then you find that even Satan comes in and then takes away some people's mind and they end up sleeping. Probably you find one falling because he fell into deep sleep, but it was God's purpose and the lesson that people do not lose hope when we are handling the word of God. That even when somebody fell down after long hours, when he was sleeping, Paul confirmed to them that his life is within him, and made a very wonderful miracle that everybody was surprised to believe in God. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you for that. And now I just marvel how you're first allowed to say that. That's marvelous, your own experience. I know that you've had the privilege of holding a number of meetings, and brethren and sisters meet together regularly. I can see a parallel here with you sharing that story early on in your talk. Just now, I find it interesting that Paul was, he, the spirit of prophecy says he passed through the Thracian company, So everyone would have expected Eutychus to be dead, because that's how Luke words it. So he must have been dead, you know. I wonder what they saw. Maybe, who knows, maybe he looked dilapidated. And but Paul, he passes through the frightened company. He doesn't deny he's dead. But he embraces him. He offers up an earnest prayer that God would restore the dead to life. We're not told what he says in the prayer, but it does remind you of Elijah and Elisha that did a very similar act. And their prayer was answered in the affirmative to save the life, to bring it back to life, to bring the person back to life. But above the sound of the mourning and the lamentation, the apostle's voice was heard after his prayer, very much like Jesus faced with a lamentation. The apostle's voice was heard saying, so he's just prayed, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in it. Now, some of them could have thought that he was mad, but that doesn't say that. And they really, like Elder Bob was bringing out, they really believed he had something to share that was for them, that they needed to hear. But this was God's servant that was led by the Holy Spirit to give glory to the true God. And they were expecting to be fed, and indeed they were. And as Bob was bringing out there later on down the chapter, it does go past midnight. So quite late indeed. They were hungry, hungry for something else, not for literal food. I could just imagine the apostle's calmness as well as his words. It must have had an effect upon others, because we're not told that they say anything. They seem to listen. They all go back to listen to him talking. In verse 11, Paul returns to the upper room and continued the meeting. And they actually had broken bread, according to Acts of the Apostles 3:9-1. They partook of the communion. And this was at night, first day of the week, which looks and appears that that's, you know, after Sabbath. And it was let's go to verse 12, why don't we? Verse 11, getting ahead of myself.
Maybe before we get to verse 11, I didn't show up my hand. But maybe before we go to verse 11, there was something in the room that I wonder how many questions we were asked to take people very long hours. Yeah, you know, practical religion, somebody may ask one question, but when answering to explain practical religion, it may take a lot of time, refine to different situations, probably different cultures, like in East African region, there are many cultures, but you bring them and sum up into one Christian culture that you need people to follow. This would take a lot of time to explain how people live, how they relate to Christian doctrine, and this indeed takes a lot of time. So when you are in a field, probably missionary field like Paul was, then it called for a lot of time, and this could probably take people for long hours up to midnight, even past midnight. I remember where last camp meeting, when we were in Kenya, Kisii, recently, somebody held us hostage by bringing a dress reform. And this took us for a long. We are attentive to listen because our people have so much adapted Western culture of dress and severely detrimental to our Christian doctrine. So we could read from different texts and SOP to help people understand exactly what they were meaning, because our temperatures here do not match with the temperatures in the Eastern world where Paul was writing and where other people like Ellen G. White were writing to refer to the dress reform. Here you find people almost half naked. Like in Uganda, there's a season over there when there is too much heat like now that you don't almost wish to cover even at night. So when you come to dress reform and explain to such, it will take long hours. So I was just reading what Sister Joan was asking, how many questions we were asked, he wondered, to take people for long hours to before sleep. Thank you.
Africa, Uganda. Yes. Thank you, bro. Sorry, I didn't look at the chat room. Sorry, I didn't mean to jump ahead. Thank you for filling that. And I'm so glad you've had that experience, and others in the room and out of the room have had that experience, because, you know, it overrides everything else. When you're studying or sharing something with others, the thought of food or, you know, temporal food or other things, they just become secondary. And that's how it should always be, whether we've got people interested in listening to us or not. And this is what the Spirit of God can do for us, being instant in season and out of season. And, you know, especially when people are cold, to get warmth from that, because you feel for them. You want to say what Jesus or Stephen said, that Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, or they don't know what they're saying when they say what they're saying. Would someone like to read verses 11 to 14?
When he therefore was come up again, and he had broken bread, and eaten, and talked a long while, even until break of the day, so he departed. And when they brought the younger man alive, and were not little comforted, and we went before to ship, and sailed on to Assos, they are intending to take in Paul, for so had he appointed, minding himself for to go afoot. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in and came to Mitrene.
Amen. Thank you, bro. Oh, I'm so sorry, Sister Joan. Thank you for your question. I should have dealt with that before we continued on. Days of Unleavened Bread, a Jewish feast day? To my understanding, yes, that was a Jewish feast day, the unleavened bread that the Jews were keeping. We're talking about the Jews that were not Christians, and Paul appears to have looked forward to the day to meet up with them, to witness to them. And also, it could have been also because of Pentecost and what happened there. It had created fond memories for him of what was accomplished there in the early days of the message. I mean, it was really still early days, but Paul's getting older at this stage on his third missionary tour. Wasn't at the beginning of Passover, Sister Jean? Oh, I'm so sorry, Jean. Thanks for the correction. Yes, it must have been the Passover. It's a bit hard. I just got to get the page up. Where are we reading from that we get that terminology? Yeah, that would be unleavened bread in relation to the Passover, of course. Thank you for the correction, sis. Yeah, but nevertheless, the Jews were keeping it, and you know what that was to represent. So there are those, the Jews were still obviously practicing that, which just goes to show they weren't accepting the Passover that's been sacrificed for us, Christ Jesus, their king, our king. Did anyone want to add anything before we, any comments? Who knows how long the walk was for Paul from verse 13? He's minding himself, he's intending to travel on foot. And except for Acts chapter 23 verse 24, There's no record of Paul's traveling any other way but by ship or foot. So does anyone have any idea how far that was that he would be traveling on the first day of the week in the sunlight hours? It's especially interesting, especially if this is supposed to be the holy Sabbath of the Lord that is said to have changed from God's day to some other day, which there's not a hint in the scriptures that is given to that. The answer is about 30 miles, Spirit of Prophecy tells us. Another source tells us 35 miles. That's quite a distance. Wow. And he got there, you know, daylight. He met them in Assos, was it? He meets up with them. But Spirit of Prophecy had an interest, sir.
He was fit.
He was fit, yeah, amen. He should have, it would surely would have worked off a lot of weight. 3 days of walking? Wow. From Troas to Assos. And the Spirit of Prophecy has this to add. This gave him a short season for meditation and prayer. The difficulties and dangers connected with his coming visit to Jerusalem, the attitude of the church there toward him, and his work, as well as the condition of the churches and the interests of the gospel work in other fields, were subjects of earnest, anxious thought. And he took advantage of this special opportunity to seek God for strength and guidance. So he could have gone in the ship. It would have been pretty hard to have peace and quiet in a ship. So he takes advantage of this. And perhaps we could all relate to this, having that time alone where we... Yeah, amen, sister. They walked a lot more in their day. Ours. Did anyone want to add anything audibly? Please feel free.
A distance of 20 miles in a day is a lot for a horse, but to think he went 30 miles and did it in a day, that's amazing. He must have been in really good condition.
We've just been talking in the background here. I'm not sure how long it took. You know, it was a longer, that's a lot of miles to cover in a day. So I don't know, maybe something for homework. But yeah, he must have been very fit either way. And I don't know about you, but if there's one exercise I like doing, it's walking. And if you've got a backpack to break your back, you know, that, I mean, sorry, did I say break your back? No, to give you strength in the shoulders. That's great.
You tie it around your hips and you go a long way.
Yeah, you can tie it around your hips. That would be really good. Yeah.
Like that around the gym, up the mountains and everything.
Amen. Did anyone have anything to add? I think we might stop here, but did anyone have anything further to add? Anything on your mind that you'd want to share before we open it up to a season prayer?
I was just thinking that perhaps Paul also wanted the chance to get some exercise. There wouldn't have been much. I mean, he could have walked around the deck in circles, but that's not very fun. So, you know, to be out in the wilderness and to be communing with God as you're walking along at a leisurely pace. I don't think Paul was, you know, power walking or anything like that. I think he was taking his time but continuing to advance because he wanted to reach Assos there. And the rest of the brethren sort of waited for him to arrive. But it would have been a good chance to get some exercise instead of being cooped up on a boat.
Oh, I reckon. I've noticed the huge benefits of I think it's the endorphins for one thing that comes about in your mind, in your brain. Just for me, it clears your head. It helps you think clearer, like a small fast can do. Very beneficial, especially when you've got something very important to attend to, which Paul obviously did have. Was I right, just to slightly change the topic, is Brother Sean okay? Is he well?
He's getting better. He had bronchitis, and that is now subsiding. His fever is no longer 104. It's down to 96, 97. So he's getting better in that regard, but of course, bronchitis doesn't clear up in one day. It's going to be a process, so we appreciate your prayers for him to continue.
Johnny's Herbs,
do you want me to, oh, you're on. Do you want to talk?
Yeah, Chinese herbs will fix it up pretty quick. Yeah. Is there a herbal medicine or a Chinese herbalist nearby?
Not that I know of. Any particular herbs, or you're just recommending what they might suggest?
It's just if you go and see a herbalist, a Chinese herbalist, usually, well, here in Perth, West Aussie, we meet up with them at the markets or something, and they'll fix him up real quick. Like somebody had that the other day, and the doctor said antibiotics and all this and that. She's seen the herbalist, and it was all gone in 3 days.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Sean's getting better.
Yes, that's right. Sunny. Yeah. It's just a thought, you know, if you knew of a Chinese herbalist, they could help out heaps. They're very, very, very smart people.
Well, thank you so much for that information. We will pass it along to him.
Well, it's been wonderful to meet up with you today. I'm not used to this, and it's quite something to be here. And thank you for coming, Luce and Faye, Sister Faye. Shall we have a season of prayer, and perhaps after that we can share any testimonies we've got on our mind and heart? I just want to thank God, by the way, that Brother Sydney came online. Woohoo! That was a blessing, you know? He gave a long testimony, and I'm really glad he did that. It's kind of making up for all the times he was not able to be with us. So that was really good, and I hope he comes again. I thank God that I hope his brother comes next time too, Brother Laverne. Is there any prayer requests that we need to be aware of?
Sister Ida said that she has one.
Her foot is sore, and she's requesting prayer.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, would anyone like to go first? Perhaps I could go last. Would you like to open in prayer?
Okay. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, that we can come together through this special way that I'm not familiar with, but I do thank you so much. It's a wonderful blessing. I hope that we can talk again or meet again next week over the video links. But, dear Lord, I ask you be with us and help us, dear Lord, to keep reading and praying and to show us the things that you'd want us to do, dear Lord. Amen. Please, please be with all the people right around the world, wherever they may be, for them to have plenty of fresh, healthy food, water, clothing and shelter, dear Lord. And please show everyone the dress reform, dear Lord, that's been mentioned. The dress reform is so important, and the appetite, dear Lord, please help us to not to have that desire for food all the time, but we'll be restrained as Daniel is still or was, dear Lord. And for us to have the meekness of Moses also.
Mm-hmm.
To help us all to be kind, caring and loving. But please help everyone, dear Lord, that may be listening or we can witness to, and help each of us to be ready for the kingdom when the time comes. I ask you be with us now throughout this week, and that we'll meet again and learn much throughout the week and follow your ways, especially for each of us to be a good witness to others around us. Mm-hmm. I ask for these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, thank you for this time we have together. please clear our minds of any frivolous things and put your words and your thoughts within our being. We pray for those that are hurting. We pray for those that are sad and grieving and sorrowing. We pray that you will answer the unspoken prayer because you know what we need before we even pray for it. Thank you, dear Lord, for your love and for watching over us, and be especially close to those. Help us to come together as brothers and sisters more often. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
And precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for giving us the first half of another week of life. And we pray that you will continue to lead and guide us upward. Help us to recognize areas in our lives that can be improved upon, and that we may live up to the truth that you have mercifully and miraculously opened our eyes to comprehend. We pray that you'll be with Sister Ida and help her foot to become less painful and to heal up quickly. We also pray for Sean that he may continue to improve and to overcome his bronchitis, and that you will open his mind to understand ways in which he can boost his immune system in a natural way. And to also open other doors for him in the various areas that will please you. Thank you so much for being a God that's close at hand and not one that is far off. And thank you, Savior, for making it possible at any time of need to come boldly to the throne of grace to find help and strength, especially in overcoming sin. Thank you again for this chat room, and I pray that you'll help everyone to become more and more familiar with the features. And thank you for overruling in these computer and internet issues. And please grant us a nice rest of the week and bring us all safely to welcome in another Sabbath together as a church family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, as always, I want to begin by thanking you for being with us, and particularly for protecting us through this past week, and very especially for being with us during this meeting, our first Bible study session in our new chat room. And what a huge blessing this new chat room is, Lord, allowing us to get to know one another so much more than before. And I want to focus today, Lord, on the great privilege of owning a Bible, of being able to read and share your word as we are doing here today and every day, either in a group as we are right now or in our own private study. It really is a privilege, we acknowledge, but maybe some of us, perhaps all of us, fail to give this blessing due recognition at least some of the time, because we do read it regularly and it is a part of our daily lives, an important part. Maybe we overlook how very privileged we really are to be able to do this, when many of those wanting to or claiming to be yours will never own their own Bible and may not even be able to hear your word in their own language. We do understand, dear God, that this situation is being dealt with every day by those wonderful brothers and sisters working to spread your word in less privileged parts of the world. We pray always for these dear people and ask that you will assist them in their endeavors, wherever they may be. And as for those of us here today, we want to thank you for the ability to have a session like we are now concluding, a session in which we can study your word in detail. We can discuss any points that we maybe don't understand clearly, knowing always that we are being guided by the Holy Spirit for this and the many, many other blessings we receive so regularly. We thank you, dear Father, and also for listening to this prayer, which we offer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Father in heaven, just want to add thanks with my brethren and sisters. It's so good to be alive in such a time as this, such as the signs of the times are fulfilling all around us, where we can know the prophecies more than ever before, because more has been fulfilled than ever before. And that this isn't designed to scare us out of our shoes. This isn't designed for us to be frightened, but to get ready, to get ready, to get ready. And you wouldn't be saying get ready if we can't get ready. I pray that you'll increase my faith, my brethren and sisters' faith, to go forward, to go on with all the skills and abilities and opportunities, and especially give us wisdom from above to use them to the best account. Thank you for preserving our lives and our property to do this. It is a great help. And even when sometimes, for some reasons we can't explain, something has happened which we consider bad, but even then you overrule in those things as well. And it's such a privilege to have that real trust in you, because there are some right now, perhaps there are some brothers and sisters we don't know about, silent prayer requests as well related to it, where they are on their deathbed. Or they're on a bed of sickness and they don't know when they're going to get up. And it's very tempting to sin, to do the wrong thing, to think wrong thoughts when hurting, when in physical pain. I pray you especially give them the Holy Spirit to overcome, because it's their privilege, and that their witness will tell of the power of Christianity before others, believers and unbelievers, of what you can do for someone who puts their trust in you, though their life is in danger. I uphold dear sister Ida's foot in the pain that she's suffering right now, that a remedy will work for her and she would receive the help that she needs here. So she can be back on her feet, as you've done in the past for all of us, to giving us a feet to walk on and to a great amount of things that we can be tempted to take granted for, all the things that we can do with our hands and our feet and our ability, the speech. Wow, what a gift that is. I thank you that we might be having issues online and I might be a bit slow to grasp how to use it, but that we can try. And I appreciate you blessing brethren and sisters to be patient with me, and I pray we'll continue to be patient with one another and show that Christianity is not one religion among many. It's the only other. It's Christ versus the churches. It's Christ versus the devil. It's Christ, the owner of the world, versus anyone else who claims to be the owner of the world. And we thank you for pointing out who that actually is, the prince of the power of the air, and the way in which he works. By himself, through a third of the fallen angels, his angels, and the agents, whether they're aware of it or not. We want to rescue souls that are under his power, God. I mean, we think about people that are stuck in religions that are false. And there are bridges there already. We don't want to make any higher. We would like to be bridge builders, not bridge burners, and we'd not like to add to the wall of prejudice that already exists. Help us in the multicultural societies we live in to reach out to these souls, to have a word to speak to them and show them that their soul matters to us. And although they might not be a Christian and they know we're a Christian, we care about what they think, because God, our God, cares about what they think. And he wants them to be pure minded. He wants them to receive the real word that engrafts and links to the vine, the one that gives and imparts life in all areas of our life. We claim the promise that you have the power to do this in our own life, to fulfill the commission of spreading the light, of being a light, allowing it to shine, of Jesus coming, that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. Bless our brethren and sisters as they part at this time, the night and daytime. And thank you for the privilege. Bless our last minutes online with
time with one another as if we're in the same room. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you for your love and prayers, brethren and sisters. Does anyone have any testimonies, any songs they'd like to sing, any requests before we close up today or tonight as the time is? Oh, thanks, sis.
I'd just like to praise the Lord for hearing and answering prayers and for being a miracle-working God today, just as much as he was in the past.
Amen, Brother Bob. My sister Faye just said in the background, you don't mind me sharing? She said, when are they going to have a camp meeting and when are we going to meet up? I thought, fantastic, that's the spirit.
We can come to America.
Praise the Lord. I love the spirit of evangelism in you, missionary and camp meeting desires. That's a blessing. And indeed, God hasn't changed. You know, I find that the older I get, the more prayers get answered as I continue to look up. And I think I was having a conversation earlier this week or previous week. You know, why is it that one commits sin? I mean, why do we do it? And I remember saying that I think it's a lack of faith that causes it. It's not something on God's part, but on our part. If we commit known sin, it's a lack of faith in God. We've got to keep reading. Yeah, true. Trusting and believe. So with reading, you're wanting to trust and believe what you're reading, that this is for my help. This is my physician's trying to make me clean of sin, get rid of that wicked disease. Yeah. Do you have any testimonies you'd like to share, Faye? As you all know, Sister Faye, this is the first time she's come online and this is her computer. And so Lord willing, she'll be able to attend in the future. She's never been on the internet. We've got a newbie. And so it's welcome online, welcome to the internet, and God bless you as you use it to his glory. It's the biggest library in the world. That's why libraries do have it in there as they're part of their facilities. Very huge resource. I want to thank God also before you all. I met up with Angus, you might recall, about 4 weeks ago, or no, it was probably 2 months ago now. He showed the very first door I knocked on, he answers the door. He's very open to listening. He took a couple of DVDs about creation and he gave me one of his. And his one was all about, you know, Christians saying they believe in evolution. One bar one, most of them believe in evolution. Most of them talk about billions of years. Most of them were quite like that. So I wrote a few notes and told him this when we met up, which was just last week. And so I had the privilege. I don't get to do it all the time, but he said, let's go to, you know, we'd catch up and get a coffee. And I said, I must confess in a text, I don't drink coffee. I'm not really a fan of hot drinks even, but I'll bring my cold water. So that I did. And we got to talk and discuss. And he's a Pentecostalist. Pentecostal, so I gave your tract, Elder Bob, to him, the promised gift of tongues. He said, oh, great, I like that. And I knew why he was saying that, so that was good. He might not have known why I chose that above all, but it was a real good talk. I had 2 hours with him, and seeds have been sown, so I'm really glad about that. I'm glad, yeah. Is there anything you want to share, Sister Luz? Feel free to take the mic. Anyone want to put any, it is wonderful. Feel free to share anything on your mind.
I just wanted to, share when I was young, we didn't have TV yet, even at home. We had the radio. And we listened to Uncle Arthur's bedtime stories on the radio. And it wasn't until I was a teenager that we got a television set. And now look how far we've come. when we can get together on the internet and share with each other the love of God. That's wonderful. That's progress.
Amen. Amen. Now, Sister yes. Joan is Elder Bob's, I was about to say wife, mother. Get it right. Sorry. And
she's about the same age as me.
Is she? Okay. that's a compliment. And she, I think, is this right, Elder Bob? Are you a fifth generation Seventh-day wow. Adventist? So he's not a Seventh-day Adventist now, like he's left the church.
Yeah, but he's not a member of it. Stuff.
But he, yeah, I don't know yeah, if I've got that right. I'll let him talk.
yes, that's right. That's right. Fifth generation and, you know, being that many generations into the truth, I should be so much more farther advanced in the walking with Christ than I am. And, you know, shame on me that I'm not. But praise God that if he can wake up a fifth generation Adventist to the present truth, he can wake up just about anybody to understand the truth for these last days.
I was just going to say, we have to go Speedy Gonzales with it. Like, we have to learn very quickly, but God will help us. We just keep reading and praying and get our diets right and dress reform, everything that we possibly can, and God will show us, and we will be ready. It's up to us.
I was just thinking about what you said, Bob. That's a good thing. I'm glad you brought that out, because if all sorts of people can be woken up. Just imagine the hope for everyone that you just presented there. But I guess I kind of think, like, I wonder what you mean by, you know, you should be far in advance. I know Sister White does say to be looking at where you could have been rather than yeah. being happy with your, you know, attainments, to be looking where. And I often ask myself personally, where would I have been? And I do regret my life. But I don't regret having accepted Christ, and I'm glad that took place. But I think to myself, where could I have been devoted, you know, instead of becoming a Christian at 24? What would have happened then? I don't know what it was like for you when you, or what your journey was, but I was thinking about what you're saying, and it speaks to me, because what could I have done? I think I should be, you know, I think I should be very far in advance, but I don't know how to explain where I should be. Maybe you don't have that trouble explaining.
No, I just look at it from the aspect that I spent so many years in a Laodicean condition, and I really didn't begin to wake up till I was in my early 20s. So, you know, here we have basically what, about 10 years in which I could have been advancing in the light, and it just wasn't much of an interest to me. But when I went off to college, and I was a Sabbath keeper, and one of the ways to spend the Sabbath, especially there in the dorm, was to grab some Spirit of Prophecy books and start reading. And that's what began to wake me up, was digging into the Word and trying to understand what was being written there. And then the thought occurred to me that, you know, I claim to be a Christian, but I've never read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I've only sort of spot read. And so I guess that hurt my pride a little bit. I'm not sure. But I started to read from Genesis and didn't stop over the course of time until I got to Revelation. And then, after I got that big picture of what the Bible was saying, I went back and I started paying attention to the verbs in each of the texts and seeking to understand what it was really saying in each verse. And that's when I really got that interest, that excitement about digging into God's Word and seeking to understand what it's really saying there and how it applies to me. And when it came to my attention that the Old Testament prophets were not just writing for their particular time in history, but their words had an application to today. When that dawned on me, that what Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah were writing there had an application to today, and Sister White talks about an application directly to the Adventist Church and its leadership. That's like a big light bulb, you know, a floodlight or a big searchlight went off, because I was able to recognize that the Bible wasn't a historical book alone. It was actually predicting and revealing what was taking place in modern times. And that really woke me up. But I spent so many years in Laodicea, and being a fifth generation Adventist, I should have avoided that. And if I would have been so much farther advanced than what I am now. But I praise God for digging me out of that pit and setting my feet on the solid rock.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, indeed. Praise the Lord. So glad he doesn't give up on us. He's not giving up on us now. That's wonderful news. I mean, however the tenderest time might be in life, mum, dad, children, etc., whatever the relation, it's just, as one person put it, it's just the flicker of what God's love is for us. Yeah. And it's really hard to contemplate how great that love is, and yet we can start, at least try and start, by coming to the foot of the cross, realizing this is what sin has cost to win us back, not just what it cost, but to win us back. We might actually have a chance to live in heaven and the earth made new, start again in this life and be prepared for the next.
How long did he spend reading scripture every day to get?
We're on. So you want to ask? Okay. She was just asking. I wonder how long Elder Bob was spending in scripture each day. Is that what you're
to
asking?
To get through the Bible and to understand each text, you were saying. Because I just read the Bible from cover to cover. But did you go and read the text and really concentrate on it? Did it take you a couple of years to get through, or did it in 1 year only?
No, it took me a couple years to get through, and I still have a notebook full of my notes on various texts. But I'm still going through the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy each day. And seeking to understand what the words are actually saying. So not just reading it for the sake of reading it, but trying to comprehend what it's saying. And it's going to be a never-ending task, but what a joy it is to dig into God's Word and to recognize that it's actually a love letter written to each one of us on a personal basis. And each time you read in it, there's always something new to learn. So it's not a dead book by any means. And we're never going to be able to understand everything about it. But what a joy it is to learn something new that you didn't know before.
Are you going to write a little bit more in your books? I really like your books you've written, but would you be able to write another book on what you've learned, or is that too much? If it isn't, we look forward to reading it.
Have you read all the booklets?
Some.
Oh, there's always going to be something more to write, but at least at the moment, God is taking my time more in shepherding the home church and our church family. But I do have several projects that deal with other materials coming out in print. But it's kind of slow in getting those prepared.
Thank you so much. It's lovely to hear from you.
Thanks, sis.
Well, it's good to see you, dear sister, and good to have you fellowshipping with us, and I pray that we'll see much more of you.
Amen. I think just to finish on that note that you're sharing, one thing that also sharpens you is having other people ask you questions and having to find out the answer for yourself using the Bible, the Spirit of Prophecy, and we have so many tools to find the answers. And there's so many ways to misunderstand, but when you take everything on a given topic and you put it there and then you go through it carefully, you do come up with plain answers. If it's necessary to know, God's provided there where you can know for yourself. You're not second guessing. So that's a blessing, especially when you use your email system, Faye, because I know you've got an email account. She rolls her eyes.
Asking you.
It's a fantastic system to be able to have conversations with all sorts of brothers and sisters all around the world and them asking you questions and how you're going to answer it. I mean, I'm talking at the moment with the...
Fail in kindergarten.
Okay. I'm talking at... What? Okay, I'm sorry. You did not. But I was just going to say that I'm at the moment I'm actually having a emailing system with the president of a church regarding the Godhead and talking about he strongly believes there's only one God and that's in three, but the way he words this is to the point that it's not three and there's not one. I know that's kind of sounds contradictory, but what he's saying is that there's only one and they're divided in three, but he doesn't believe in the Trinity. Now, how he comes to that conclusion is very hard, but he does, and seemingly he believes he's got good reason for it. So when you share something like in saying you don't believe the Trinity, it's quite revolutionary. So it's really good for me. It's sharp. We can sharpen one another on our understanding of it. And it's edifying when done in the right spirit, not to win an argument, but to understand what you believe yourself and how you would defend it before someone who might not necessarily know anything or only a little bit. This person happens to know quite a bit. But he's still pretty sure he doesn't believe the Trinity, but that God, there's only one God and it's manifest or there are three persons in that Godhead, but he doesn't regard those persons as representing God in their own right or their...
Sounds like the Reform.
It sounds like the Reform movement of the Seventh-day Adventist. Well, it's funny you should say that because that's the president I'm talking about. I wasn't going to share that, but thank you for making that point. Well, if anyone has anything, I'll love to finish with a scripture song I've been learning this week. But before I do that, please feel free, anyone, to share anything else you'd like to before we close up for tonight. Or today, as the word is.
Well, I just would counter with the president. Even God, the Father, says to his Son, Jesus, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And God is talking to Jesus and calling him a God. So there's at least two, but all three gods were present at creation when the Spirit moved on the water. And so there is definitely three. Each one is a god.
Amen, sis. Amen. Sister of Faye's just nodding what you're sharing. I was just going to say one of the strong things they believe that they've got on their side, and I don't think Paul Chapman's by himself. He's representing at the president of the Australasian conference.
I don't believe in what he says.
Okay, so they've got doubts about his... Well, one of the things he says is that every time God is mentioned doing something, it's always in the singular. Now, there's actually... That's not quite accurate. There is times when it is plural, but generally that is true, what he's saying. But he's thinking that proves that that means what he's saying. And when you quote, I think you were quoting Hebrews chapter 1 from a psalm that... that Paul quotes regarding thy God, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness, a scepter of thy kingdom. For thou hast hated unrighteousness and loved righteousness. Therefore, God, thy God, even thy God shall set thee on thy throne, to finish it off, paraphrasing. That it's only Jesus that has a God as a human being, and that being the Father. And I don't know why Paul can't see it, but he really doesn't think he believes the Trinity. And I guess that's what's hard to get through people, because there's other people that don't believe in most of the Christian doctrines that are founded on the Bible. I know one particular man, John Wollaston, comes to mind, and he has a spiritualist foundation, and he doesn't believe Jesus. He believes Jesus was created at some point. But you're trying to share with him different quotes, and it's as if they really, well, they don't see that they're actually teaching the Trinity. It's just in a different way. So it is confusing. good point. A brother put in the room, Genesis 1:1 is plural. Elohim, that's right. That he talks about the verb every time the term God is used is singular. And most of the time it appears that that is so. If there are instances where it's not true, but it has instances, God is actually singular when it's mentioned. So there's, I don't quote them, but I'm not convinced by the argument, because I think, just as you said, that's one powerful statement. And there's so many more, and there's so many spirit of prophecy statements, which, I'm hoping he'll see the light, because I'm pretty sure he's convinced he doesn't believe the Trinity, and that he believes what is the truth, but he actually teaches the Trinity without calling it that. So there you go. Do you want to say anything, Faye? No? Yeah, thank you, sis. The doxology. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Now, what psalm's that from? I think I've been in front of me. In his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but that he that glorieth glory in these, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment and righteousness, in the earth or in these things I delight. Loving kindness, judgment and righteousness, in the earth or in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 9:23-24. Thank you all for your time and your presence, your prayers, your love, and your contribution to tonight. Won't be long. We'll see you Sabbath. Our Sabbath, your Friday night Sabbath. God bless you all.